One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Full Court Press, brought to you by The Game, Entertainment, and Media, along with The Game on News Talk 1400. I'm your host, Scott Nason, and we are joined once again this week by co-host Matt Johnson. And Matt, we are here a week later than we wanted to, but glad to be back on Full Court Press with you as we talk high school boys basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. How you doing on this bitterly cold Saturday afternoon, sir?
Well, I'm doing great. As everyone who knows me is aware, I've been a huge Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Yes.
Since I was a kid, and they were recording this on Saturday, and they're going to play the Raiders later. I'm all excited. They haven't had a lot of success in playoff games, but this is a new team. So that my afternoon is all about NFL football. But more importantly, I guess, how are you doing? You're coming back from COVID.
Yep, I diagnosed COVID, or I was diagnosed with COVID there last weekend, so we haven't had our show, The Game, on News Talk 1400 this past week. We won't have it again on Monday, but I'm doing pretty good. A couple days where wasn't feeling the best. The COVID variant, the Omicron, or whatever the heck you want to call it, certainly hit the Nason household, but we're all doing well, and certainly glad to be back with you, Matt, and I am a Bengals fan today. I'm pulling for them as well, and certainly great NFL football all weekend long. But we're not here to talk NFL football. We're here to talk about boys high school basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. And Matt, since we haven't done a show in 2022, we're going to look at each school and how they've done so far in January. Of course, COVID-19 is still wreaking havoc on several teams with many games canceled. We'll get to those in a moment, but let's start with the only undefeated team in the area in boys basketball, the Rudyard Bulldogs. Rudyard currently 5-0 on the season, top of the Straits Area Conference and the Eastern Upper Peninsula Conference. Bulldogs had two games this past week. They crushed Cedarville Detour on Tuesday at home by the score of 71-41. That was on our EUP Game of the Week over on Country 105. And then on Thursday, it was back to the Straits Area Conference as Rudyard knocked off St. Ignace by the score of 65-48. Maybe a little closer than some expected. Matt, Rudyard, really to no one's surprise, 5-0. Your thoughts on the Bulldogs, those games, and their season so far?
I had a thought when I was watching their game against St. Ignace. On Thursday, I had two screens going on my TV. I had Pickford and Cedarville Detour, and then on my computer, I had Rudyard and St. Ignace. And the first thought I had early in the game was like, my hat's off to St. Ignace. They're one of my favorite teams to watch right now, just how they play. But the thought that I had was, Rudyard has really impressed me with how they've matured as a team.
Yep.
One thing, watching all these games from all these different schools that just like appalls me is the shot selection that some of these teams make. Like, listen, this is like going to be like a basketball lesson for people. from a coaching point of view, one of my big priorities was always shot selection. I preached it. There's not a shot clock in high school basketball, right? So by definition, if you avoid turnovers and take higher percentage shots than the opponent, by definition, higher percentage shots go in a higher percentage of the time. We had, 2 years ago when our team won the conference in Pickford, Mike Collins, one of my assistants, his partner, she would chart our shots. We had an app where you could chart the shots, and compared to all of our opponents, like all of our shots were next to the basket, you know, really high percentage. And right. I was a big proponent of math. Take higher percentage shots than your opponent, you win. Well, Rudyard, for all the positive things you'd say about Rudyard the last couple of years, they've always been good. Nobody would have accused them of being the best team for shot selection.
Right.
Like, I mean, they had a lot of things going for them, but sometimes you would just see, like, forced up threes, and you'd be like, why are you doing that? I mean, you have so many assets on your team. You have a big post that nobody can guard. Why are you going to check up a contested three? Well, I have to tell you, of all the teams right now in the Eastern UP, Rudyard is the best when it comes to shot selection. And that's a compliment because that wasn't always the case. Everyone knew that they were kind of like the best team in the region. But if you want to win, like deep in the playoffs, it's not good enough just to be better than the teams you're playing. You have to, you know, you have to be able to play well against good teams. And I think that their shot discipline and putting up high percentage shots is going to serve them very well. For one, Bestemann is just a problem for these EUP teams to match up with. Like St. Ignace in that game on Thursday, I mean, they played their tails off, man. I love that McLean kid. He's one. He's just a hustler. He gets rebounds and that. But what's your answer for a guy who's 6'6 or 6'7 if you don't have one?
Right.
You know, you don't have it. So then I look at a guy like EJ Suggett, who's one of the best players, you know, in the not just the Straits, but you know, the whole Eastern Upper Peninsula. And when he was he's been on the varsity since he was a freshman, and he was always good, but he used to kind of take, sometimes he would take some shots that, again, you'd say, well, is that the highest percentage shot? He has really matured as a player, and his shot selection really improved. And as a result, listen, in the EUP conference right now, in the EUP conference, not only do I not see someone beating Rudyard, if I had to wager right now, I don't think anyone's going to come within 15 points. The Straits Area Conference, different story. Right, you know, 2 years ago when we won the EUP in Pickford, the EUP was far ahead of the Straits, and now it's
right.
Completely flipped. You know, the Straits is much better this season. And Rudyard, of course, in both leagues, leading the pack. I do know this, Scott. On Tuesday, when they decisively beat Cedarville Detour, I know that they were expecting kind of a better game, and it didn't happen. I've had a chance now to see Cedarville Detour a couple times, and I said they'd get better as the season goes on, and I do believe that, but they're going to have to.
Yeah, Rudyard right now, Matt, 3-0 in the Straits Area Conference, 2-0 in the EUP Conference. They'll return to action at Engadine on Tuesday and then travel to Pickford on Thursday. Matt, let's look at Cedarville Detour, 2-2 on the season. The only game that they played was the one that you mentioned, falling to Rudyard by 30. Cedarville 2-1 in Eastern Upper Peninsula Conference play this season. They're going to host Hillman on Wednesday and be at Engadine on Thursday. And that game on Tuesday, just you know, not used to Cedarville Rudyard games being that lopsided, especially with the Bulldogs being on top. But boy, the Rudyard Bulldogs, it took them a long time back in the day to knock off Cedarville, and now it just seems like they do it almost every time. Cedarville Detour, are they the second best team right now in the EUP conference that you've seen, or is that still questionable because many teams haven't played a lot of games because of COVID-19?
Okay, well, one thing I've noticed, I assume that you went on the MHSAA site getting schedules. Cedarville, they have played another game this week. On Thursday,
nope.
For some reason, it's not on the MHSAA website, but Cedarville Detour played Pickford on Thursday.
No, they did. I did not know that.
And I don't have the final in front of me, but they won by about 10. Pickford was actually leading most of the game, which... certainly was not what people were expecting going into the game. And I had a chance to watch Cedarville Detour in that game. I'll say this first of all. We're seeing how like COVID is affecting schools. You know, we haven't seen Brimley play in January
because
we've had COVID issues. We've seen Engadine not play since January 3rd. we've had teams missing players. You know, Pickford has some guys right now who are quarantined and missed some games, but I've heard that it's kind of traveling through Cedarville, like the high school, but I mean, I don't know if they had anyone out. I didn't notice anyone out. Maybe I missed someone, but their key guys for the most part were there. I was almost wondering as the game was going on, because I saw some of the guys dragging so much. I was like, gosh, I almost wonder if this, you know, if they're sick or something.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I just was expecting them to be better. They have, you know, I would say that Cason Smith would be their best guy. You know, I know when they play Rudyard, it's like Rudyard's going to take away his strong dribbling hand and force him to go the other way and pretty much shut him down. Cedarville does not have a lot of size. That's another challenge. So, like, they get into a game against Rudyard, there's not an answer there. Even against Pickford, it was a problem for them because, you know, on the boards, because Pickford, you know, does have some size. So, look, I'm a big proponent of, I do think Coach Duncan does a good job. I think they're going to be prepared. I think that they're going to get better. But I've been, like, vacillating between them and Brimley in the two spot. And I know they defeated Brimley, but that was one game, right? You shouldn't necessarily, you know, sometimes the story of one game does not mean that they're just permanently better. I think that right now I'd give Brimley the edge over them for number two.
And what was most impressive about that entire statement, Matt, is the use of the word vacillating. Very well played, sir. I like that one.
Thank you. I have my dictionary right beside me.
I appreciate that. Matt Johnson, Scott Nason with you for the latest edition of Full Court Press. Matt, let's go through a few more of the teams in the EUP Conference. Brimley, as you mentioned, they haven't played since December 29th as they finished runner-up at a holiday tournament in Kearney, Naidu. COVID situation going on there. I believe their schools will be open this upcoming week, and they will have games. The only game on the schedule, the one I have, will be at Newberry on Tuesday. Brimley 4-2 on the season, 1-1 in EUP Conference play. And speaking of Newberry, they got their first EUP Conference win this past Tuesday as they knocked off Pickford in Newberry 66-40. The Indians had a busy week. They fell to Sheboygan on Monday by 8 and then topped Manistique last night. So Newberry now starting to get it a little bit together, 2-4 overall, 1-2 in the EUP Conference, 0-3 in the Straits Area Conference. As I mentioned, the Indians, they will be home to Brimley on Tuesday and then take on Sioux High on the road Thursday. That Thursday game will be on 1230 WSO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. Brimley, since we last talked, Matt, they haven't had any changes. And Newberry, a busy week, but getting a couple wins. Your thoughts on those two teams?
Newberry is one of the teams I'm really pleasantly, I'm not going to say surprised because, you know, I talked with Kenny a little bit, Kenny DePew, and Kenny had COVID at the start of the season. So, like, he wasn't able to be with his team at the start of the year. So he had, like, fill-ins at practice. And I know he was frustrated at the start. They had Rudyard early on. They didn't look very good in the game, but he had hardly been able to, like, practice with his team. And I feel for him, man. Cause Kenny is like one of the best guys.
Good guy. Who's a coach.
And like, I just am always kind of rooting for them, honestly, just because of Kenny.
Right.
Man, have they gotten better. It's, you know, they got beat by St. Ignace and I watched that game. That was last week, right?
Right.
Yeah. I watched that game and I just noticed how Newberry's improving in the game. I know that they were losing, but, like, offensively, the way that they were playing, the ball movement, the energy and effort on offense, the spacing, I mean, they were so much better on offense. I actually thought they were kind of weak on defense in the game. Like their offense, which is kind of been a theme in EUP basketball in these last 2 weeks. I'm watching, and man, the defense has been bad, but the offenses have been getting better. Newberry, you know, I've talked about Marco Juarez before, and in many ways, he's not their. You wouldn't necessarily say he's like their all-around best player because he's not really a shooter or anything. But I just always love those guys who they bring speed to the floor. They help you on defense. They generate turnovers and just kind of good things happen. But you need to have the scorer to kick out to. And they have some guys, you know, this Claudio Bistolfi we've talked about. You know, Ethan Edwards, or is it Ethan was his brother, is it Eric Edwards. They have some kids. So they came out and, man, they manhandled Pickford on Tuesday. It was not really a competitive game. Did they play on Thursday?
I don't believe so. Newberry, yes. They played on Thursday and defeated. No, they played Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. So Thursday they didn't play.
What was their last game?
Their last game was last night. They beat Manistique by 9.
Okay, I did not see that game, but it doesn't surprise. Okay, Manistique had played Munising tight.
Right.
And Munising is like one of the better teams. So, hey, if you think Newberry is like slouches and you're just going to show up and pound them, they are not. They are not going to be on the bottom of the barrel. The kind of lower teams in the UP are not going to be able to beat them. And it would not shock me. Like right now, I know Newberry lost to Cedarville early, but if they played next week, I'd take Newberry.
Yeah, Newberry certainly a team that is improving in the standings, Matt, finishing the EUP Conference. Two teams still searching for their first win of the season, Pickford and Engadine. They were scheduled to face each other last week, but that game was canceled. The Panthers 0-4 on the season. You mentioned their loss at home to Cedarville Detour. They also fell at Newberry. The Panthers will be at Pelston on Monday and home to Rudyard on Thursday. That should be our EUP game of the week on Country 105 with Matt Pocket. Engadine, they haven't played since January 3rd, Matt, as you mentioned, 0-3. Their last game, they lost to Manistique 57-40. Engadine scheduled to be at home this week. They'll take on Rudyard Tuesday and Cedarville Detour on Thursday. Both those teams, Matt, off to slow starts. They will play each other and hopefully a makeup game as well. But your thoughts on the team that you coached last season, Pickford, and Engadine, who hasn't played in a while?
Yeah, I'll start with Pickford, and then I'll about Engadine. I forgot to say something about Brimley, which I will after Pickford. Okay, so Pickford, it was really. I know that they're really frustrated with their game against Newberry. See, last week they were supposed to play Engadine. The game got canceled because of some COVID. It was COVID related, the cancellation. And they have, you know, they have some guys out. You know, Braylon Rounds was out for both those games. Zach Harrison was out on Thursday. And they have some other guys. So, what did I say before Christmas break? I said, I think that Christmas break is one of the key times for a team. Like, we have to get significantly better at that time. I think one of the challenges for Pickford is they played so few games. Compared to some other teams, it's like they only played two games in December. It's like I was talking with a coach, and he's like, North Central's played like 8 games
at this point.
And every time you play, you get better. So if you're just kind of playing against yourself and it's not at that high of a level, you just kind of play at that slow level. And that's where they were at on Tuesday. It was a bad situation. Now on Thursday, they actually had more guys out, but they actually played a lot better. They played better defensively, I thought, against Cedarville Detour. Offensively, it was a very, very ugly game. I mean, very ugly offensively. But Pickford's, I liked what they did, you know, their defensive effort. I thought they won the rebound battle. And I was talking with Coach Steve McConkie. I talked to him yesterday, actually. And Steve's a great guy, too, by the way. Sometimes when you lose people and you only have a limited number of people left, in some ways it makes it easier to coach because you know your hand that you're dealt and you can kind of just play the strengths of that and weaknesses of that group. When you have kind of 9 or 10 guys that are relatively equal, it's hard because you're not building continuity. You're not kind of working around one group. So I think one of the challenges for Pickford is going to be, how are they going to manage their rotation and their lineup going forward? They were playing JV kids against Cedarville. Tommy Story is a freshman. His older brother Jimmy was one of my kids on,
yep,
on our UP championship team. I think we'd have won the state title, by the way, but anyway.
Had to get that in there. I don't blame you.
Yes, I want a trophy in the trophy case regardless. No. But Tommy, actually, I'll be honest, I thought he was like the best player in the game. He came in, he was a ball of fire, a ball of energy. Here's the problem. You take a kid like that as a freshman, he plays in that situation because you have kids out with COVID, everyone understands. So now all these other kids come back, juniors and seniors. Well, you're going to keep playing the freshman and giving them minutes because you know what's going to happen. Mommy and daddy are going to call up and say,
yes, they will.
How come little Johnny's not playing? And I can tell you from personal experience that there are some people in that group that won't be afraid to do it. So you could bet on it. So, you know, I don't know how he's going to handle it. And I will say, it's not just that. You want to have your JV team be functional. And if you keep taking people all the time, you know, they're not able to be competitive. So we'll see what Pickford does. It's almost going to be like when these guys get back from COVID, it's going to be a different lineup on the floor than they've had this last week. So the challenge there is the guys who were out kind of weren't part of that process. They didn't learn those lessons. So this is the challenge. Like coaching with during the COVID era is a massive challenge.
Yes, it is.
Engadine and Brimley. Quickly, I'll just say this. Engadine, I still have very little to say other than I watched a little bit of their practice the other day. You see, NFHS, where I watch most of these games, the streaming service, the way it works, it's automated. So like,
right. I've seen a couple practices on there when there haven't been games.
If a game is scheduled for 7 p.m. on Wednesday and you cancel because of COVID, the camera still goes on at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. So I was just thinking about this. Like, when I was coaching, I didn't really know that. Otherwise, I would have been like watching these feeds and watching other teams' practices.
Yeah.
You know, you can see what they're going to do. And Brimley, here's my question. And I don't have an answer to this. They've had COVID issues and things canceled. I want to know what their practice is, like what their practice routine has been during this period. If their school has had a strict thing where it's like we're canceling all after school, then they are going to be behind the eight ball and I'll pick them to lose against any good teams in the next few weeks. If, however, they've had most of their guys and they've been practicing hard, then I don't think you'll see as big of a drop off. So that's what I think is the key factor for them.
Looking at the EUP conference standings, Matt, again, recapping, Rudyard looks to run away with this, currently 3-0 in the conference. I agree with you. I would one-up you and say I don't think a team's going to play within 20 points of them in the EUP conference. That'll be kind of a side bet between us as far as the rest season. Cedarville Detour in second place with a 3-1 record. Brimley in third, 1-1. Engadine fourth place, if you will, yet to play a conference game. Newberry in fifth with a 1-2 record. And Pickford right now in the last place position in the EUP conference, 0-3 so far this season. Scott Nason with you along with Matt Johnson for the latest installment of Full Court Press. And Matt, let's move on to the Straits Area Conference. We already discussed Rudyard and Newberry. Let's look at a couple couple of the other teams in the Straits Area Conference, including the Suhai Blue Devils, currently 3-3 on the season. Suhai has played three games already in 2022. The Blue Devils knocked off Gaylord at home back on January 5th, 51-29. And then this past week, the Blue Devils fell at Alpena on Tuesday, 57-41, and then a nice win on Thursday at home against Sheboygan in Straits Area Conference play, 53-26. The Blue Devils in second place in the Straits Area Conference currently, 2-1. They'll be at Marquette on Tuesday and home to Newberry on Thursday. You can hear that Thursday game, as I mentioned earlier, over on 1230 WSO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. Your thoughts on the Suhai Blue Devils, 3-3, I think maybe where a lot of people thought they would be right now. What's your thoughts on the Blue Devils season so far?
I would, just as I was singing Newberry's praises, I'm going to do the same with the Sioux. I actually think they're quite good. And the thing is they have the right starting lineup now. So, Oshelsky, Jonah Denisio McShane, Max Scott, Campbell, and Haller, Dominic Haller. Those are the five that are starting right now. The changes there, the lineup, are the additions of Haller and Campbell. And just the coaches that I've talked to, and just based on my own film, I mean, I just kept watching and, you know, Haller just kept making plays, you know, in some of the early games, and Campbell just has some physical gifts, you know, as a post. So watching them, you know, I got to give coach credit. Another offensive thing that they do, I mentioned shot selection with Rudyard. The Sioux is the best when it comes to spacing. You need to space out on offense. You can't have guys clustered next to each other. The more spread out you are, you spread out the defense, you create opportunities for your team. And no one does spacing like the Sioux. Now, I was watching before we got on here. I had watched their game against Alpena. I had watched their game, some of their other games. But I was watching the start of their game against Sheboygan. They were up 16-0 after the first quarter. The Sioux was. Coach Fitzner has a 1-3-1 defense that he's done throughout the years. He was in that one, they had him in that 1-3-1 against Sheboygan. And very few teams run that defense. So what you end up having is the offense is not used to going against that defense because usually you have a different offense for different zones. And you just basically, you have them doing something that they haven't been doing, right? And they're not as comfortable with it sometimes. And I just have to say, like, I look at that, and that's the strongest lineup that they had in years. They have some talent on the team. I think he's got the right lineup. I think that if there's a team that's going to beat Rudyard, them and Rudyard's a coin flip. I would almost think that the Sioux would be the favorite in the next game, but it will be a toss-up.
Yeah, and the Sioux team, much like the one we're going to talk about, St. Ignace, who's good this season, but really going to be good in the next couple seasons, knowing a lot of the players. My son, a sophomore at Suhai, has played basketball with a lot of these, like the Gravel twins, and you mentioned Campbell, and these guys like Scott and Oshelsky and Haller, they're going to be seniors. So watch out for Suhai, not just this season, but in the seasons to come. And let's finish up with St. Ignace. Both they and Sheboygan 1-1 in conference play. The Saints now 3-3 overall. They beat Newberry back on January 6th, 96-59. We already talked about the game at Rudyard, losing 65-48. Big size disadvantage for the Saints in that one. I think they hit about 10 threes. And with just two seniors on this year's St. Ignace squad, Matt, certainly much like Suhai, the next couple years for St. Ignace are going to be very good. But they're pretty good this season, 3-3. Your thoughts on more thoughts, I should say, on what you've seen from St. Ignace.
Man, I just like how they play. If I was an AD and I was like being able to put together a coaching staff, a dream coaching staff, it'd be hard to not have Doug Engels.
He's fun to watch. He is a fun guy to watch on the sideline.
He's not necessarily fun to coach against.
No.
I mean, and I don't just mean because, like, he's a good coach. Like, it's frustrating because, like, you always feel like he's manipulating these officials. Like, they get scared of him.
He's a little vocal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I would try and always preempt it. I would always be like, so are you going to let him manipulate you this game? try and get in their head like the other way. But I just love the way, you know, they're aggressive. They're pressuring. You know, their game against Newberry, their full court pressure was excellent. Their shooting against Newberry was exactly what I thought it would be, which is what I tell you. After Christmas break, when the teams have had more time, like, you see a big improvement in shooting. This St. Ignace team if anyone is capable of upsetting Rudyard, and I won't call the Sioux an upset, cause that's like a toss up, it would be St. Ignace. I know Rudyard just beat them, but the reason is because they have so many good 3-point shooters. St. Ignace does not have an answer for Besteman. Like, they're just going to get beat inside. But the way that they can beat Rudyard the next time is if they can score 3 for Rudyard's 2. Right? Like, right. Rudyard's going to score a lot, and they're going to, but St. Ignace has so many shooters. I will say this, in their game against Rudyard, if you're going to beat Rudyard, if you're going to get the upset, they just had one too many turnovers for, like, they just had too many turnovers for beating Rudyard. And again, the shot selection. You know, if you're going to beat Rudyard, you need to be selective about your shots. Johnny Engels, obviously, top guy on that team. But, you know, Frazier and North are both good 3-point shooters. And then McLean, there's kind of like my team of guys that I like, like the hustle guys. I mentioned Juarez and Newberry, Garrett, my guy Garrett Orsborn and Pickford. And McLean is another one on that list from St. Ignace. He's not the biggest kid in the world. It's just whenever there's a loose ball, it seems to end up in his hands. I just love how he plays. You know, we need to get Coach Engels or someone from St. Ignace on the show here sometimes. I want to hear their stories about that, because he just seems like a great hustle kid to me.
Recapping the standings in the Straits Area Conference, Matt, Newberry on top 3-0, Sioux High second 2-1, Sheboygan and St. Ignace tied for third with a 1-1 record, and Newberry currently in fifth place in the Straits Area Conference, 0-2. Scott Nason along with Matt Johnson for the latest installment of Full Court Press, and Matt will end today's edition with what we deem war stories with Matt Johnson. It reminds me of, I believe, Oliver North had a series a while back on Fox News, War Stories with Oliver North. We're going to do War Stories with Matt Johnson, talking about some of your more interesting coaching experiences. We'll leave the names out to protect those maybe that were involved with this, if you like. So, Matt Johnson, your second installment of War Stories, what do you got this week?
And before we start this, I need to extend an open invitation to the coaches of the Eastern Upper Peninsula. If you have to deal with any irrational jackasses, such as the type that I mentioned on the previous show, I was feeling a little under the weather, so I don't feel like I gave last week's war story the appropriate energy. I didn't express kind of my disdain for the individual who did that with enough energy, but here's what I want to say. My open invitation. Coaches of the Eastern Upper Peninsula, if you have anyone that's being an irrational jackass, feel free. You can come on the air and share your story.
Yes. Or
if you're not comfortable doing that, you can tell me the story and I will share it. I will share it. And this is like our chance to push back against irrational idiots. Right? This is going to be our opportunity. Because normally these people think that they can yell and shout and act like an idiot and there will not be a consequence. Alas, we've come along and we are offering the opportunity to make these people famous for all the wrong reasons. Now, you are right. We are leaving names out, although in some of these cases, like the one last week, I really shouldn't have just because, you know, he didn't when he was attacking. But this next one, I'm actually going to go back to the back. I'm going to take you back to the past when I was athletic director in Rudyard. So this isn't a coaching one. It's an AD one. And we had an excellent rule that really every school should have, which is 24-hour rule.
Yep.
Which is if you've got something to talk about with a coach or a parent, it can't be, you know, until after 24 hours of the game. Because they don't want these heat, you know, coaches are emotional after the game. The last thing you want to hear from, you know, some guy complaining about his kid's playing time right after the game. And the parent's usually hot and emotional right after the game. So that's the idea. Well, that year, the Rudyard team, it was just kind of a down year. Like, the talent was down and there were some kids up on varsity. And there was a parent who was upset. Apparently about, I don't know if it was the playing time or if it was the starting lineup, and the game is over. We lost. We're about 20. I see this parent, like, waiting outside the locker room, and it's very apparent after a certain time that he's not waiting for his kid, because I think the kid had left. And he looks furious. I mean, his face, his body language, he looks like he's ready to fight somebody. And I, trying to preempt the situation, jumped over and said, "Can I help you?" He then told me what I could do with myself in ways that we can't share in the radio, and said he was going to talk to the blank blank coach because he can't believe that he would start a blank blank like blank over his son. And he went on this tirade about, like, it was like a monologue. It was like a 5-minute monologue where F-bombs were used as nouns, verbs, and adjectives and adverbs, and about kids, about me, about the coach. And at a certain point, then the coach came out, Tracy came out, and he was like, you know, he's as calm a dude as you'll get.
Right.
And I was like, no, I called him 24-hour rule, but he's like, well, I'm just going to meet with him. Of course, I didn't like that at the time, so I'm like, shoot, I've been taking bullets here, now we're going to meet with him? I would have just let him. But I will say this, in fairness, I almost was reluctant to tell that story because the people around know who it was. But the family members of that person, several of them, came up to me in the, like, as the story leaked out as to what had happened, several of them came up to me not only to apologize, but to share that they did not feel that way at all. I had a very strong relationship. It was a family that I feel very close to. That's just so people know, like, this is the kind of thing that ADs and coaches are going through.
And it's not just you, Matt. It's pretty much everywhere. And certainly my hat's off to anybody that coaches any of these high school athletes. And even at the lower levels, we have these sort of issues. And certainly as a former athletic director myself, including yourself, that job, you're dealing with all the sports and all the parents, not just one. So certainly good advice and good counseling services provided by you and our show here at Full Court Press. Matt, great job at catching up on the world of boys high school basketball. I've been kind of out of the loop being on quarantined, and certainly good information you provided that'll get me ready to get back to work next week, and certainly ready for our next show next weekend, in addition to the game a week from Monday on News Talk 1400. Matt, have a great rest of your weekend. Go Bengals, and we will talk to you next Saturday for our next edition of Full Court Press. Great job.
All right, Scott. We'll see you next week.
All right, that sounds good. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Full Court Press. You can find this show on our website, thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can also find all the platforms of the game on social media, Facebook, Instagram, as well as your favorite podcast site. For Matt Johnson, my name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you next Saturday for our next edition of Full Court Press here on The Game, Entertainment, and Media.